them, and you can bring $5 for pizza, or you're welcome to bring your own food if you don't like pizza. So if you're in this journey age group, they're having a big game night at the Family Center. And in March, can't believe we're into March, but on the 1st, which I guess is this coming Saturday, a men's breakfast at the Family Life Center. I know that is a wonderful event for you men. Is there a particular time for that breakfast? Okay, there, Brother Micah's got it up. At 8 a.m., men. Oh, and a sign-up sheet in the foyer if you're planning to come, so they'll know how much food to cook and how many tables to set up. And then this weekend will be our Fresh Fire service, and Brother Stephen Rhodes will be preaching this Sunday morning. There will not be a Sunday night service, but he will be preaching on Sunday morning. I really don't know if y'all know how loved that Stephen and Callan are in our North Texas district, but they are extremely loved and very, very involved in everything that goes on in our North Texas district. And he's a pretty good preacher, isn't he? Yeah, he really is. And he's one of y'all's, you teachers, you Sunday school teachers. Y'all have raised him, so you can feel a little pride in the fact that you had a part in planting a seed that has grown into a wonderful ministry. Okay, and then that is this weekend. The next weekend you'll hear your last pastoral candidate on the 9th, on Sunday morning and Sunday night. So that is quite a lot going on. And so if you want to stand, we're going to take some prayer requests before the throne of God. I'm so thankful that God hears our prayers, and not only does he hear, but he answers our prayers. And so along with what is on the screen, let's please pray for Gina Swain, for Matt and Amber Thomas, and for Sister Cindy Crawford. She really needs a touch in her leg. Okay, let's pray for Cindy. Chris Anders, D. Chashire, James Brockaway, Benny Goforth, Danny Bramlett, Aiden Early, and Brother Griffith is probably going to get out of the hospital tomorrow, as you know from the prayer chain. His surgery went really, really well, and he wanted to thank y'all for that. Don and Donna Howell, Georgia McCool, Laurie Bolt, Jana Leverton, and let's please pray for Sister Dickie. She lives with pain in her body all the time, and let's pray for her. And I would appreciate y'all praying for Abby, my little granddaughter Abby, Caleb's wife. She was raised by her grandparents, and so her grandfather is like the only dad figure that she's ever had in her life. And he's in the hospital in Little Rock, and he is very near death. And Abby and Caleb are there right now. So she's been real, real upset about it, as anybody would be. So let's remember Abby in prayer. And, you know, she just calls them Papa and Grammy, so I don't even know what their name is. So if we can pray for Papa and Grammy, you know, God knows what their name is. I don't even know that. And also, I want to share something with you that you can help us pray about. Most of all of you know that a number of months ago, we purchased a small house in Jonesboro. Most of you know that. And so on this past Thursday, they've had some really bad weather there, 7 degrees, and then with the wind blowing. And anyhow, a large water pipe in our attic burst, and it flooded our little house. Totally flooded it. So the cleanup crew went in there and removed all the wood flooring. Yesterday they removed all the carpet and started cutting holes in the walls, you know, to let the whole ceiling fell in the living room. So anyhow, have you ever felt like that you were right at the edge of a cliff, and then something else happened? You felt like you were a few more inches closer to falling off. That's where I'm feeling right now. So we're going to leave after the service tonight and drive to Jonesboro because we're meeting the insurance people at 10 o'clock in the morning there at the little house. So if you'll just keep that in your prayer that all of this renovation will will go good. Okay, that's a lot of prayer requests I mentioned, but let's try to pray for all these things right now. We thank you, God, for the privilege of bringing our petitions before you. We pray tonight for Abby's grandfather. Pray, God, that they will feel your peace engulf in their life. Tonight, we pray for Jana, Sister Dickie, for Lori, Georgia, Don and Donna, continued healing in Brother Griffith. We pray for Aiden and Danny and Benny and James, Dee and Chris and Cindy, Matt and Amber, Gina, all these requests, you know what they're about. We do not know, but you know. Not only do you know, but you're able to do something about every situation. So in the name of Jesus, let there be healing, let there be comfort, whatever the need is. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen, 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 amen. Do you want to take up an offering tonight? Okay. Some Wednesday nights we take up offerings. Some Wednesday nights we don't. Last Wednesday night we didn't. I guess tonight we are. Okay. Brother Jackie, do you have the offering place? You guys, you don't ever know if this is an on night or an off night, do you? Okay, you may be seated. Thank you, gentlemen, so very much. We pray God's blessing upon this offering, on the precious people that contribute to the cause of the kingdom. In Jesus' name. Okay, we're fixing to have lesson 4 in our series. Welcome to you.
And I put a few handouts out for families or people that would like to work with the effort that we're trying to put together tonight. I'm plenty excited about it. I have spent quite a few hours trying to look over the material that is involved in this and what expansion capabilities it reveals as we give ourselves to it. I'm going to start actually with quite a bit of scripture, and the thrill of this lesson is greatness thrives on the right choices, and then we will go back to some scriptures that helps bring about some of the strength of that concept. But Esther gives us one of the greatest compositions of some of the what we would call ideas, concepts, and realizations that can happen by right choices. And so Esther, the 2nd chapter in verse 10, and I'll just read it, and if you have it, a Bible, and I think I put some scriptures out there to some of y'all get the sheet. And that way you can sort of run along with us and carry that back to your home. Esther had not showed her people nor her kindred, for Mordecai had charged her that she should not show it. So this, some of y'all may remember the message. I kept reliving the message I preached, the king is holding out the scepter. Some of you may remember that because I've preached it twice in the last 42 years. And it's one of my favorite. It was one of my greatest ministries on the evangelistic field. I don't think I went to any churches during the 6 years that we evangelized that I did not preach that message because of its great, great depth and its great capacity to reach out. So I always enjoy reading this. So Esther, the 2nd chapter, Esther had not showed her kindred nor her people, as Mordecai had told her. For Esther did the commandment of Mordecai like as when she was brought up with him. So chapter 2 and verse 8. So it came to pass when the king's commandment and his decree was heard, and when many maidens were to get gathered together unto Shushan, the palace, to the custody of Haggai, that Esther was brought also into the king's house, to the custody of Haggai, keeper of the women. So Esther, the two in second chapter, verse 15. Now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abigail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go in unto the king, she required nothing but what Haggai the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed it, and Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. Chapter 4, verse 15. Then Esther bade them return Mordecai this answer. So all the king's servants, chapter 4 and verse 11, and the people of the king's provinces do know that whosoever, whether man or woman, and this is a huge scripture, shall come unto the king into the inner court who is not called, there is one law of his to put him to death, except such to whom the king shall hold out the golden scepter that he may live. But I have not been called to come in unto the king for these 30 days. So can you imagine the feeling that is going along with that and the experience as they try to move forward in this kind of shadow? So Esther, the fourth chapter, verse 16, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maiden will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I just perish. So Esther 10 and 3, for Mordecai the Jew was next unto King Ahasuerus, and great among the Jews, and accepted of the multitude of his brethren, seeking the wealth of his people, and speaking peace to all his seed. So jumping all the way over to the book of James, one of the greatest books of wisdom that is revealed, James, the fourth chapter, come near to God and he will come near to you. And I just put in my notes, what a choice. And I hope that some of you got a sheet of paper that was similar to this that you can make some notes on about your vision as you go through the evening here, that you may want to write down, this is what I would like to do for my community. This is what I would like to do for my family. This is what I would like to do for the people on my job. And so that those blank lines are just to give you some thought patterns for yourself so that you can idealize what the bread of life and the wine of the Spirit is doing in your world, and hopefully that we as the apostolic era is trying to invade the dark areas of life. We are using these moments like this for that. So in Ecclesiastes, a good name is better than precious ointment, and the day of death than the one day of one's birth. So I want to cover that again. Proverbs, the 8th chapter, receive my instruction and not silver. Now that's a pretty interesting statement there, because he's telling us that the value of true statements are greater than the value of finances or things of that nature. And so knowledge rather than choice of gold. And if you remember, the scripture says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. And that's a real critical thing, because a lot of people get up against a problem, they get up against a spiritual issue, and because they don't know the word or they have not applied the word, they feel like they are just sort of sinking down and they don't have a way to get up. And so that's when we look up unto Jesus, the author, the finisher of our faith. So Proverbs 4 and 6, forsake her not, and she shall preserve thee. Love her, and she shall keep thee. We're talking about wisdom and knowledge. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom, and with all thy getting, get understanding. Now, you cannot have a valid understanding without taking truth and putting it into practice. Once you get truth put into practice in your knowledge, you have this wise realization, no weapon formed against us can prosper. I've already got the key to eternal life. I've already got the strength to walk in the faith. I've already got brotherhood and sisterhood. And so wisdom is the ability to look at a situation and know that there is a door when it doesn't seem to be. It is a light when it seems as dark can be. And we've all experienced that in family situations, in financial situations, and so many things of that nature, because life is just designed that way. And so today, I got to tell y'all this. This is a little bit of a pride thing maybe, but I got a call from a friend of mine that has worked some with President Trump and also with several leaders in the House of Representatives. And some of you may have remembered that I have mentioned Daryl Scott's name a number of times because his daughter was the one that what was the school name that Columbine High School where she was killed. And of course Daryl was one of the UPC home mission gentlemen, him and a couple of other people, Paul and Keith Clark. And some of y'all would remember Keith because he preached here during Brother Jerry Ward's ministry here. And but anyhow, all three of those guys moved out to the Salt Lake area, and here's all this trouble that's come, and you would feel defeated if you weren't careful. But he had this wisdom of knowing all things belong to him. And we can't tell when it's going to be a day of living or a day of death. But we do know this, God is fair, and he's faithful, and he loves us. And he cares, and he's coming to get us, that if we continue to look up to him. So let's move forward as quickly as we can, because the greatest choice that anyone can make is to truly serve God. Proverbs, the 22nd chapter and verse 1, if you're making notes or if it's not in those pamphlets, then if you must choose, take a good name rather than great riches. For to be held in loving esteem is better than silver or gold. That's from the wise man Solomon in the book of Proverbs 22:1. Integrity, and some of you may remember the author C.S. Lewis has written books that probably every religious system has taken advantage of some of his books somewhere. But his integrity is doing the right thing, even when no one else is watching. I've always thought that was really a great cliche, and I try to practice it when I can get myself to. So I would like to read this to you. We do not claim the origin of all this material, but my wife and I have had the privilege of being part of she and her husband, which have hosted multiple seminars, meetings, and used much of this material across the USA and in other countries. It's been a genuine thrill to be able to share light and life with people that really care. And obviously, you wouldn't be here tonight if you didn't care. And you have faithfully helped keep the lights on. And so a choice of that nature, you can't buy. It's a choice. We are very aware that there, every one of us could be somewhere else. But we have chosen and we have shared our life in Jesus Christ with others. So greatness, I want to read it directly out of the manual that we're working out of. Greatness thrives on right choices. Choose to do the right thing and watch the power structure of your life move the mountains that we worry about, and we erase the fear that tries to paralyze our life in difficult moments. So one of the greatest powers we possess is the power to choose how I want to live, who I want to serve, where I want to go to pray, to seek, and to walk with the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So we often find ourselves, even in all of this, in a battle, and it's typically a mind battle. Most of us don't have worries that eat from our toes up. It comes from here down. And in that setting, when we know, and that's why the Bible really presses the issue that knowledge is such a great thing. Romans, the 7th chapter, Paul writes to the church at Rome, "For I know that nothing good dwells in me." What a phenomenal statement that the Apostle Paul is making. I know that nothing good dwells in me. That is, at least in my flesh. And so then he tempers that whole setting by saying, "For I have the desire to do what is right, but not only the ability to carry it out, for I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing." Is that a wild statement from the guy that wrote so much of this? And we're reading this. Okay, he is talking about this to the church at Rome, and you can read it for yourself later, but doing things right is important, but it is not as important as doing the right thing. I thought that was one of the greatest phrases that in studying this out, that we do the right thing and can be pursuing a lot of great and positive things and yet not make the right choice or the place that we want to be, so that no weapon formed against us can prosper and life can get greater and the weak will get stronger and the heaven is looking closer and more wonderful than ever. The choices you make impact those around you, and that's the thing that we're doing this whole series on is greatness, and this greatness has to do with choices that we choose to make life the greatest. So long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, he had his eyes on us. He had designs on us. He has a plan for each one of you. I wish you'd look at your neighbor and say, "God's got a plan for you. And the plan you're working now is going to be have addition to it." And I've probably worn it out, but I try to say it because of things just like this, and that is grow in grace and in knowledge. And I've tried to really help because the world system wants to tell us that grace is just unmerited favor. That is a part of the team of thought patterns. But grace teaches us that denying ungodliness, in other words, we don't let that door open to our family and to our future because we know that in that element of carnality and ungodliness and unrighteousness, that's not going to bring our family unit to that place where no weapon formed against us can prosper. I am trying to do the best I can get Robert Meyer to do so that I can help everybody that is in my life, whether they are rich or poor, whether I have known them long or short. I am determined to let them see Jesus in some way of the way I have had just enjoyed life. I did the pantomime thing again today, and it really works good. I can't imagine when 20 of y'all start driving through Brahms and go. It just broke loose with this guy. He got so tickled, and we both just had a good laugh, and it wasn't at Brahms. No, matter of fact, it was a young lady at, what's that, Panda Express, where you get fat. Ladies and gentlemen, it is so thrilling to present Christ in a different way, and just joy is one of his powers in the kingdom. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And so it is, I've determined, and I'll tell you, that was one of the greatest laughs that I've had in a good while. I mean, the person did. So greatness thrives on right choices. So think about a time when you made a choice that you knew was not the right choice, but you did it anyway. Now don't get up and testify. The way you treated somebody or the way they treated you and you wanted to help get them straightened out. All of those choices fill our world. How many times we have said, I knew better. That was a choice. And so thankfully, once you confess that, you're getting yourself out from under the load. So it's not just saying, I knew better. It's confessing so that you can move on. One of the things that I knew better on, pardon me, my sister Sharon, I think I told you this several years ago because I have a sermon that I preach about it, but I put it in this notes today because Sharon was the oldest of the four daughters that my dad and mother produced. They got two of us boys, and they decided to start getting girls. And Sharon was the oldest, and some of you know her. And this particular day, I must have really been occasioned to a lot of fun. And I had a rope, and I had a bicycle. And I had a friend down the road that was younger, and he would listen to me. And so I told him, I said, I'm going to tie your bicycle to my bicycle, and I'll pull you, and you won't even have to pedal. And so we got around a corner, got to the next corner at the block, got another corner, made a block. It looked like let me say it like this. I know I was having fun. I wasn't sure he was. But that last one, I learned that if you swung them out, you could get them up some speed. And it's called centrifugal force. And I didn't see his mother and dad at the time, but he come flying around that corner, and he got off of that scooter on his shoulder, gave a body block to that curb, and got up just screaming. And you guessed it. I had nothing to say. Except I felt bad. And the parents were so kind. They were nice neighbors, and they knew how boys could be. And of course, he only broke his collarbone, but he got over it. But I still had a rope. Bad day. So I took that rope, and I went in the backyard. I dropped it over a tree limb and told Sharon to get a hold of it. And I'd pull her up in the air so she could really see around. Well, I pulled her up too high. She grabbed hold of the limb. She's hanging in the tree. And it's afternoon, and Dad's taking a siesta. And I come flying in the house. And Dad didn't have all of his clothes on, so Mother grabbed a curtain off the wall, wrapped it around a 240-pound man, and the ambulance was on its way. They got her out of the tree, and he took me to the back room. And he and I worked out a plan that I would never do that again. Until this day, I have never pulled her up in a tree, and I've never pulled a neighborhood boy around where he could hit his body on a curb. Now, I'm trying to help us to realize that there are some things in life that you try to do that don't work out good, but there is a time when the choices that you make was not worth it. And sometimes we have to learn the hard way. But how does it make you feel when you make a right choice? Pray instead of worry. You turn it over to Jesus in a prayerful way. Jesus, you said, call on me. And so it is that the right choices of how we respond to everything is really critical, because the way we choose to live beyond the problems, the difficulties, etc., is a critical thing. So is it possible to be doing what is good but not be doing what is best? And so the application of God, come unto me, I will give you what you need. I will work with you until. I will empower you to become the light that people look at you and say, I don't know what all they got going, but what I know is this. They've got a power structure that creates joy and peace and glory in their life. And that's what the United Pentecostal Church of Paris means to Pastor Meyer. And that is where I try to work as carefully and as constructively as possible. So there's three essential foundational choices. Choose to believe in God, love and pursue Him with everything that's in you, and the greatest commandment is to you, love the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. And when that happens, I was just out on the driveway today, and one of the neighbors that has moved now but drove around the corner and stopped and started honking his horn, and he wanted me to come out and visit him at the road, and we got to talking about some spiritual things and strengths and powers, and he just it was just a joy to thrill to know that there is a people out there that really do care about who you are, what you are, and what's going on. So one of the second things is discover and follow your God-given purpose. You are not going to do everything just like everybody else does, but this idea of a choice is so phenomenal. When you read that story of Esther, and you know, I spent hours today looking through all of this, because that Esther thing was such a phenomenal part of my life. Not just sermons. It has affected me that she would literally stand up in the courtroom of what could have been total death. But somehow the glory of the Lord kept working in that setting. And I just could get off on it real quick again. So discover and follow your God-given purpose, and then everything finds its purpose in Him, Colossians 1 and 16. So practice integrity in everyday decisions. What am I going to do today? How am I going to do it? How am I going to respond to life? How am I going to respond to people? Those little simple things. Practicing integrity means making right and honest choices in your actions, decision, behavior, and etc. And so Proverbs, again, the 22nd chapter, if you must choose, take a good name rather than great riches. For to be held in loving esteem is better than silver or gold. Oh, friend, I'm telling you tonight, as I talk about all this stuff, and I foresee many of you, plus the people that you help, I see glorious limbs of fruitfulness in this city and in this county and in your workplace. I just see it in the vision today, because we are the people of light. That doesn't mean a bragging capability. It means a wonderful usage on God's part to take advantage of our hands, our eyes, our voice, our ears, and to turn it into godly concepts of living. Could we just praise Him for the opportunity to become? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, I want to just say, put this right in, right at this point. If God could take little Esther and take her to the levels that the book talks about, don't you doubt one minute, one more second, that God is going to take you to do similar things just like He did Esther. It wasn't a short story at first. It became a great story in the finale. And that's what I want to do with my life, and I hope I help every one of us to do that. When her people were threatened with annihilation, where did she go to help to make the decision? Esther, the 4th chapter and the 15th verse. What were the risks? Esther, the 4th chapter and the 11th verse. What was her final decision? Esther, the 4th chapter and the 16th verse. How did her wisdom in approaching the king influence the destiny of Mordecai and her people? Esther, the 10th chapter and the 3rd verse. Ladies and gentlemen, the escalation of that picture just continues to grow, and the rhythm of it begins to bend the heavens and the angels of God, and the glorious realization that she made a decision that I will follow until I die. And she put her life on the level. And that was, if the king did not hold out the scepter to her when she advanced into the kingdom, she would immediately die. But when she walked into there with a decisive concept of life, and she believed in her God, that king held out the scepter to her, meaning, I will give you covenant probabilities and covenant capabilities. And that's how that she got the whole show really rolling on. So the right choices lead to right results. The way we want life to be is everybody else to do everything right, and then we'll be good. Did I hear an echo? Ladies and gentlemen, it's wonderful to realize that when we have been given this wonderful gift of choice, it's the only thing that we have been given absolute power over. Every day you can choose how to live. And every day you can choose what the results will be because of how you observe life. That is a choice. And that's what this whole thing that we're doing right now is about, the choices that we make and to the things that we discover because we study until. And so the choices we make today will determine what happens tomorrow. I like the way she paraphrased and put that in this setting. The following are 5 biblical and wise choices, and these I will just identify. They're very routine for most all of us. Choose God. Proverbs, the wise man, says about that, trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. That's Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 5 and 6. What would you attempt to do if you knew without a doubt that God was with you in every decision you make? Once you get adjusted to that, it doesn't have to be an instant thing like instant coffee. It doesn't have to be today. When you know that He is able to do exceeding abundantly above all, the choice is already made. He can't lie. He will not lie. And if He is lying, we don't have a heaven or hell anyhow. I don't believe He's lying. I've already seen too many people in heavenly places. I've already seen too many people living in hell when they had all kind of money. Money cannot buy you what we're talking about. We're talking about a choice to become something that is so effervescent that the people will say, I don't know how you do it. I know you have trouble. I know your car has broken down. I know your house had burned down. I know that you have had situations in your family of cancer and this and that and the other. And that's when we tell people, that's why we live in the Holy Ghost or the kingdom of God. That's why we walk in the Spirit, is because we couldn't make it like that if we didn't have Jesus living inside our heart, in our head, in our work, in our everywhere. We are in Christ Jesus, a new creation. I wish you'd look at somebody and say, are you a new creation? Then all things are going to work together for the good of them that are that new creation, that new level of life. We are in Christ Jesus. This is not belonging to a local assembly. We belong to the King. We belong to the everlasting kingdom. We belong to the glory of the kingdom. We belong to the covenants of the kingdom. We belong to the restoration of anything that would tear us down, and we would find ourselves in maybe a poverty situation. But and I've just seen, Dad was on the missionary board for years, and he would bring back stories and tell us about people that had so many inconveniences. But later on, when the final day was rendered, their victories were won, and the glory of the Lord was so wonderful. And so today, that God speaking, He said this, I have set before you life and death, blessings and curses. Now choose life, so that you may live, so that your children may live, so that you may love the Lord your God, so that you might listen to His voice, so you might hold fast to Him, for the Lord is with your life. Deuteronomy 30 and 19 through 20 in the NIV helps you with all of that. So how do your choices affect your family, those God has placed in your lives? We are not just a light. We are the light. You can be pretty wise and have a lot of light. How to build a house, how to make money, how to overcome situations. That's a lot of nice things. But it's that day when that the spirits of hell have risen up, and situations on the job and neighborhood situations. And I've just sort of hesitated to even say this because it's been on my mind for the last couple of years, and I'm just going to go ahead and tell you. I was working for her dad at A&P on 70th Street, and there was an older, shrunk up little black man, and I would carry groceries all the way out to the street and put the groceries in the car for some of the elderly. And this particular day, this old man looked at me and he stopped me. And he said, I want to tell you something, son. You're going to do great things for God. I will never forget that day. Later on, we were doing home mission work in Greenville, Texas, and I mowed yards, and Roger and I had a couple of goats that we milked, and we made do with life. And then I finally got a paper route, and Mother would often get up with us because it was early in the morning, and three houses down from 3719 Washington Street, my last time to go collect money for the paper. The elderly man, will never forget him opening the door. And he said, "Son, I don't know what all is in your future, but you've got a good future. In the mouth of two or three witnesses shall every word be established." I didn't know that scripture at that time, and I just thought it was weird. Now I know it's God's way sometimes of telling you. You don't have to have a lot of money, and you don't have to have a lot of stuff going to get some strength. I encourage some of you elders to let God speak to you about some of our younger people. It may be the thrust that they need to help them with the challenges they face. They may not need a rebuke. They may not need something real strong like so. Just a nice gesture. Those two people that did that for me, as you could see, I could still feel it today, many multiple years later. God has been so good. One of the things that has blessed me is you folk. Cannot thank you enough for the last 40-something years. Food on our table. So many kind gestures. The thrill of walking with you. Not to mention the bus trips. A lot of good stuff that don't flow away. It just lives on. But the thing that is so beautiful is that when it's all over, everything is written down in the glory world. And the book shall be opened. Make good choices. And I have been grateful that, I'm totally convinced that everybody in here tonight made a good choice in coming to just let the word of the Lord move into our life. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely. But whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. And that's in Proverbs. But then later over in the setting of the word of God, make straight his paths. So he gives it to us both ways to keep on the straight and the narrow. A good name is more desirable than great riches. To be esteemed is better than silver or gold. Proverbs 22:1. This whole thing about greatness and this particular lesson is on choice. And I have just thrilled studying it for the last couple of weeks. I guess it was about 2 weeks ago we started on this. I started to work on this because it just rung a bell inside of my heart. And I was so glad that I was given this particular one. So with all of the choices, Proverbs 8, choose my instruction instead of silver. Knowledge is rather than choicest gold. For wisdom is more precious than rubies, and nothing you desire can compare with her. That's in Proverbs the 8th chapter, 10 through 11. Get wisdom, get understanding, because wisdom will protect you. Love wisdom, and she will watch over you. Though it cost all you have, get understanding. Cherish her, and she will exalt you. Embrace her, and she will honor you. She will give you a garland to grace your head and present you with a glorious crown. That was some of my mother's teaching. I didn't think about that when I put this together, but as I reread it, a remembered mother would always tell me, always read that book of Proverbs. Get that material out there. That wise man put that stuff together. And mother was very kind but vehement. You want to play a little music sort of in this? Maybe one just to sort of wrap this up. Anybody got any particular? I'm going to stop right there. There's just such a wonderful atmosphere here, and I just I'm so thankful that we are together. It's nice to be together and to work together. I cannot thank you enough for feeding my wife and I and our family and so just so many nice things. And so it's always nice to share with you things that I know are going to make your life better as you feed on the Word of God. And so with all of this, and I hope some of you got a little sheet there and fill out some little desires, and you don't have to show them to anybody except Jesus. And the Bible said he will give you the desire of your heart. That's big, because it comes from a promise of one who cannot lie. He don't give it to you the day you want it always, but I have found out in time that he is one. One other thing I will tell you that I am confident. Back in Baton Rouge, we lived catty-cornered to a little grocery store, City Market. Some of you older people may remember Bob Pettit was a big basketball player. He had an insurance agency just across the street from City Markets. 6'9", he couldn't put his body through a normal door. They're 6'8". I just went over there one day to see if he was real. Just a little bitty boy. But this particular day, I went to City Market and I went and got some stuff to take to the house. And this real weird guy looked real rough. And he put his finger out and he said, "Come here, son." Well, I had never dreamed that maybe people were bad. He said, "Come go with me into this place." And this theater was closed down and so boarded up, opened the door, and it was dark. And man, you never seen a little boy run like you would see that. I ran all the way over to 161 South 11th Street. And years later, when I heard newspapers and things about life, I knew that your God put his hand on a little boy that day and said, "Don't stand around here. Run from evil." I didn't even know the scripture. I do now. I am blessed. We are blessed. Whatever song we could sing, would you just sing it and let's just praise him.
Oh, my life,
for the privilege of a choice to walk with the King.
Oh, my life, you have been so,
to live in covenant
so close,
with truths,
with every breath,
powers.
That I am able.
It's not just about a building. It's about a God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, my life, you have been faithful.
Oh, how could we praise him too much?
Oh, my life, you have been so good. With every breath that I am able, I will see. Oh, my. You have led me through the fire in my darkest nights. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. I've known you as a friend. I have lived the goodness of God. I love your voice, nothing like it. You have led me through the fire and my darkest nights. You were close like no other. I've known you as a father. See the goodness.